I call the House Finance Committee meeting to order. Today is Saturday, March 28th, 2020, and the time is 9:09. And I'm so grateful that in my script I can find out what day of the week it is. Members present is Representative Telton, Representative Carpenter, Vice Chair Ortiz, Representative Sullivan Leonard, Representative Josephson, Representative Merrick is online, and myself, Representative Johnston. Today's agenda will be considering the amendments for SB 52, the Alcohol Beverage Control Act. Please silence your telephones, your cell phones. And today I'll be bringing SB 52 before us to consider amendments. I'd like to first, before we do amendments, go to online, and we have folks online to do the fiscal notes. And first we have Doug Wolliver. Are you there? Could you give your fiscal note, please?
Yes. Hi, Madam Chair, members of the committee. This is Doug Wolliver, Deputy Director for the Alaska Court System. Just here to answer questions on our note. The note is just basically 3 months of an attorney's time to convert. I think under this bill there are about 63 or so misdemeanors that become violations, and we adopt or minor offenses, and we adopt a bail schedule, change our instructions, reprogram the computers for the new offense codes. 3 month position, and then that will be, it's a one-time expense. So I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Are there any questions for the court system? We've been joined by Representative Knopp, Representative Laban, and Representative Wool. I don't see any questions. Thank you very much. Next we have Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Good morning, Chair.
Good morning.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick from the Department of Revenue. Just give a quick overview of our fiscal note. Department of Revenue's fiscal note is an indeterminate change in revenue. Section 155 of this bill would extend the existing alcohol tax of $2.50 a gallon for wine to a new winery direct shipment license. This would extend the tax to shipments that are coming in from out of state that currently would not be taxed. The Department of Revenue doesn't have data on the volume of shipments that are coming in through out-of-state direct shipments, so we're not able to estimate the amount of the revenue change, but it would be an increase in revenue over what's currently being collected on the tax. And then, in addition, there's a small capital item that would take care of some reprogramming changes in the Department of Revenue Tax Division's tax revenue management system, and then the outward-facing revenue online portal, which allows taxpayers to file tax returns online.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, thank you, and thank you both for being here on Saturday morning. Next we have Glenn Klinkhart.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can, and thank you for calling in on Saturday morning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This fiscal note prepared by the Office of...
Could you put your name on the record, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Glenn Klinkhart. I'm the Interim Director of the Alcohol Marijuana Control Office. This particular fiscal note, if for those of you who have seen this before, it's really the same except for a 4% increase over the last year. The nice thing about being the director of AMCO and the fiscal part of this is that AMCO is fully funded by the receipts that come in, and this fiscal note is designed to do that as well. With the changes in this proposed bill, we'll actually be bringing in just slightly more in receipts than we're going to be spending in order to support these changes. And I am available for any questions if anybody has any.
Are there any questions? Seeing none, thank you all again for calling in. Next, we will be bringing up amendments. I'll be rolling amendment 1 and 2 to the bottom of the pile, bottom of amendments. We'll start with amendment 3. Representative Knopp.
I'm not going to move amendment 3.
Okay. Next, we will do amendment 4. Representative Wall. Yes.
Object for the purpose of discussion.
At ease. Call this
back
meeting
on.
Back to order.
Back on. Hello, hello. There you go.
Okay. Representative Wall.
Amendment number 4 returns the population numbers. And this really, what it was, it, I don't know that we really went over this in committee, but license limits are 1 per 3,000 for alcohol licenses. In the manufacturing tasting room world, I'm unclear if it's 1 per 3,000 per type or 3 per 9,000 per type, and so I know it was moved to 12,000. I don't know what it was moved from, but basically I'm concerned that we're developing a equity situation for manufacturing tasting room licenses, which we already have for BDLs, which is really at the heart of the problem of the so-called bar wars, is that some, due to population limits and the quota system, have a lot of value, and people paid to get into the game. And now all these other players are in the game, and the brewers, I understand, in this grand bargain that they gave up, they got expanded hours, but then they gave up this population limit so that there could be fewer of them. And that was a bargain that the brewers didn't want to take. But I contend that it actually helps the brewers, because if I'm a brewer, and suddenly no one else can build another brewery in my town because my town has, 20,000 people, and at 12,000 I can only have one. So suddenly no more competition. And as the bill sponsor said the other meeting, I love competition. And so I think giving this expanded population cap, which really means fewer brewers, tasting rooms and distillery tasting rooms and so on, that it reduces competition and increases the value of these licenses. And I think that's the wrong direction. I think we should be working against that tide. And as revolutionary as this bill is being presented, I think it's really the same animal with a different haircut in a lot of the areas. Some changes are significant, but I think lowering to 9,000 instead of 12, again, I'm still unclear, is it 3 per 9,000 so you have one brewery, one distillery, one winery per 9,000, that would be 3 per 9,000. That's my understanding, although we didn't really go into it in the committee. But removing 12,000, going to 9,000, I think is increases the ability for other people to get into the business if they want to under the current law, which is good. And I think it resists the trend towards overvaluing or adding equity, which we're going to have the same problem later when these become really valuable and then someone wants to do another kind of business that's very similar, and then they'll be in the same boat as the BDL. So I propose removing 12,000, which has only been around for about a month on paper, not 8 years, to back to 9,000.
Are there any questions? Do you maintain your objection?
There's a question.
Oh, Representative Sullivan Leonard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, I would like to just make a comment, not so much a question, but for my particular area, we're kind of ripe for commerce right now, and we have young men and women who really find that the new business of a brewery is very enticing, and certainly at this point in time, I don't want to, you know, negate the fact that we've got young entrepreneurs trying to come into a business and really make it work in small communities. Right now, my population is just a little over 10,000, and I think just in communication with my particular city, this 12,000 threshold was very important for them for new breweries to be established in my town of Wasilla. So at this point, I don't wish to support this. I think there's been a lot of work that's gone into this bill. Lord knows how many years, 6, 7, 8 years. And, you know, that's a long time. And I'd like to see how things work first. And then if they're not working, come back next year, for those that will be back next year. Then they can go ahead and look to see about changes at that time. But I really don't want to make it difficult for those that are wanting to invest at this time.
Representative Knopf.
So, Madam Chair, I think I'm going to support it. Although I'm still trying to wrap my head around this entire bill, but so I understand that we can have multiple breweries, but they just can't have a tasting room. And I believe under this bill, tasting room concept kind of goes away, and now they have a retail license, if I understand correctly. So my concern would always be that you have a brewery with a tasting room and a couple of breweries without a tasting room or a retail license, whatever they may be. But when breweries started getting going, one of the reasons for being allowed to sell your samples was the immediate need of cash flow and revenue. And I think any upcoming upstart breweries will have the same problem, the need for cash flow and revenue to sustain the manufacturing end of things. So I can see a need for breweries, even though they intend to just manufacture, to have a need for tasting rooms to sell samples or retail, whatever it may be, sooner rather than later. So and I don't want to neglect that opportunity for them to do that. So I'm going to support the reduction back to what it used to be.
So. Representative Laban.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I support this amendment. It's a compromise within the compromise. Maybe 3,000 population cap was too low. By the same token, maybe 12,000 is too high. It discourages competition. 12,000 discourages the free marketplace. It discourages a new brewery from opening. 9,000 is a softening of that limit, and it allows for a little bit more opportunity for a new brewery to establish in a marketplace. Recognizing that the capital investment to open this type of business is considerable, so there's a barrier to entry beyond a population cap. So I would support this amendment.
Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I certainly appreciate the ideas put forward here with amendment number 4 by the sponsor. His arguments are pretty sound arguments. With that said, I'm going to oppose the amendment. And I'll put on the record right now all amendments. I've spoken to BDL owners. I've spoken to the president of CHAR down in my particular district. I have spoken to brewery owners. And the consistent message that I get is that they want to see 52 pass. They want to see it this session, and they, in the spirit of the compromise that went forward into getting this bill before us, they feel like any amendments, any changes at this point, at the 11th hour, all as well intended as they are, could upset the apple cart, and you know, and most of all, they just want to see this bill passed. As the member from Wasilla has just spoke about, this has been a long process. They were concerned yesterday when they heard that perhaps this wasn't going to get to the finish line, and I can just see this, you know, if we start to go down the road of amendments, and then we have a new CS, and then the Senate's got to look at it, and this just could get lost in the whole process. And I think, with that said, I'm just going to oppose all amendments today.
Representative Josephson.
A question for the maker of the amendment. And I ask this with curiosity and not taking any particular position. I'm told, Representative Wool, that DBLs, and I haven't spoken to any,
BDLs,
that BDLs see advantage in this because they know what the lay of the land will look like in the out years. They know who's in town and who's can't come to town, so to speak. What is your impression of that?
Representative Wall?
I'm up, I guess. You know, I don't know that I have an answer for that question. I think I've heard from the Brewers and the Brewers Guild and the Brewers lobbyists, and they said at one point they liked the change. And just to clarify, and I'm not sure, Representative, it's Sullivan Leonard. Her comments said she didn't want to change it, but this amendment to go to 12,000 happened 4 weeks ago or so in Senate Finance. They amended it. So Senate Finance amended it. And so to say we don't want to upset the apple cart, in my opinion, that happened. You know, the 7 years building up, maybe not. But so I understand the time consideration that we have, too, because today's maybe the last day we're going to be here for a while. But the current law is 9,000. But currently, I'm not even sure it's 9,000. And maybe we'll have a legal expert can tell us, because it doesn't really specify. It says 1 per 3,000 per license type, so maybe it's not 9,000. But what this 12,000 means is that for every 12,000 in your population, you can have one. So if Wasilla has 20 and you have one brewery, that's it. If it's 9,000 and Wasilla has 20 and the population's 9, then you can have two, which is, I think, currently the system. As far as looking down the road for the BDLs, you know, I think this, one could argue at 5 o'clock when people get off work and they want to go to a brewery and have a beer. And if there's more than one choice, they might go to Brewery A or Brewery B or Bar A or Bar B. But I think adding another brewery probably affects more of the brewery following at that time of day. So I think that's why the brewers would like to raise the cap, so there's not as many breweries to choose from. So I think it's a win for the brewers to go up to 12,000. I think it's a loss for competition, and I think it's a loss if you don't want to build up equity and yet another license, which, again, I think that's the wrong direction, and that's the hole we have to dig ourselves out of, is this equity in licenses. And I'd like to, you know, see that eliminated and not increased. So to answer Representative Joseph's question, do the BDLs think, wow, there'll be less competition? I don't know, but I know the brewers think there'll be less competition. So that's why I propose to not change the bill as it was changed 4 weeks ago in the Senate Finance.
Follow up? I just to get on the record, while I am, this bill isn't perfect and it could be amended, I too have the same input from my constituents that Representative Ortiz has. They would like this bill supported and unamended, and so that will be where I'll be going. I do agree a lot with some changes. I would love to see the whole issue of equity in the whole liquor licensing, but as the sponsor of this bill has said in the past, it is a system that we're working with. I look forward to future discussions on this, but today isn't the day. Could we have, unless any further comments, can we have a roll call?
Representative Tilton?
No.
Representative Wolf?
Yes.
Representative Carpenter?
No.
Representative Josephson?
Pass.
Representative Knopf?
Yes.
Representative LeBon?
Yes.
Representative Merrick?
No.
Representative Ortiz?
No.
Representative Sullivan Leonard?
No.
Representative Josephson?
No.
Representative Johnston?
No.
Three yeas, seven nays.
So with a vote of three yeas and seven nays, this amendment does not pass. Next, we will do amendment number five. Representative Wohl?
I'll drop five.
Okay. Next, we will do amendment number six.
I move amendment number six.
Object.
No surprise. not everyone is so responsive to their constituents' calls, but I feel it's my job as a legislator to try to amend legislation. That's why I'm here. I get calls on both sides of this issue, so, and I have my own feelings, which I try to represent those once in a while, too. Amendment number six changes the proposed new closing time of tasting rooms from 10 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Currently, and since their inception, tasting rooms have been closing at 8 o'clock. Since breweries about 2000, and I want to say 8, and distilleries 2014, that has been the rule. I haven't noticed any problem with how they're working. Customers seem to be flocking to them and enjoying them. I go to them. I do. And I think they serve a good purpose. I haven't been hearing from patrons. Gosh, we got to stay open a couple more hours. But I know the owners want to stay open, and I understand why it means more revenue. Now, when this bill to allow the sale of samples in manufacturing tasting rooms, in 2006, there was a Labor and Commerce Committee. Craig Johnson, former legislator who was at the time staffer to Representative Liesl McGuire, noted, while there have been concerns regarding breweries acting as taverns, this legislation includes restrictions such as limited on-site sales, restricted hours of operation, and well-defined environment. In the same committee meeting, Robert McCormick from Glacier Brewhouse and the Brewers Guild of Alaska said, the concern, he said, is that the law may be misinterpreted and breweries may turn into taverns. However, with the restrictions, in place, this will not happen. And Glenn Brady, on 2006 Labor and Commerce meeting from Silver Gulch Brewing, chairman of Alaskan Char, and who is now a member of the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, said the creation of taverns would not, to avoid the creation of taverns, would not allow the sale of product after 8 p.m. And I could go on. There's a bunch of more quotes. Representative Tuck in 2014 with relation to the distillery bill that was passed to allow distilleries to sell samples. Similar to wineries and breweries, HB 309 would prevent distilleries from acting as a de facto bar by prohibiting bar-like amenities such as limited hours of operation. So basically the whole thing was started with limits, saying we are not going to be taverns, we are not going to be bars. We will close at 8 o'clock. We won't have live entertainment, and we will limit the size of how much anyone could drink. This blows that open, goes to 10 o'clock. It allows live entertainment, which is another amendment I didn't touch on, but it allows live entertainment. So now these places are, let's just call them bars and taverns then, because if you're not going to adhere by the initial rule, just say they're bars and taverns. I mean, if you walk down the street, they look like them. That's fine. But, you know, I guess I'm more adherent to the original intent, and I think that crossing this line, well, next thing will be 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Next thing will be, you know, more entertainment. Also at 10 o'clock, if I know the public safety and public health people like these places because it's limited how many drinks you can have. So they feel that no one can really get too inebriated. But if you go to 10 o'clock, you can start at one place and have 36 ounces of 10% beer, and then you can go to another place and have some vodka and go to another place and have some more beer. By 10 o'clock, you could have quite a bit of alcohol. So I think it defeats that angle as well. So anyhow, right now it's 8 o'clock, current law since its inception. This bill says 10 o'clock. I say let's compromise. Let's try 9 o'clock, see how that works. Maybe the breweries and distilleries are going, you know what, 9 o'clock's fine. We don't have a lot of people here after 9. We don't want the people that show up after 9, actually. They're too drunk. So I think this is a good compromise. And I think this was a number that was bantied around earlier in the deliberations. I think the breweries pushed back. I think they have some muscle. They have a lobbyist. Char has a lobbyist. I won't go into their last names, but I think they're the same. But anyhow, I think 9 o'clock's a good compromise, and that's my amendment.
Representative Lamont.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would concur with Representative Wall on the compromise at 9 p.m. I had two hopes out of all this, is that the population limit would be dropped to 9,000 and the closing hour would be dropped to 9 p.m. That 9-9 approach to amending this bill. The first one failed. I'm hoping the second one passes. Thank you.
Representative Knopf.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm not sure if I'm going to support this amendment yet or not, and I'm going to ask a sponsor a question here when I get done, but concern is I'm still obviously not clear on the entire bill, but the three-drink limit that exists now, does that go away when they're no longer called tasting rooms and they have a retail license? And the concern come up when we talked about entertainment and we talked about music festivals, and it was people said, you know, it's really unrealistic to think you're going to host a music festival and only serve three drinks. And so I guess, you know, whether I would support this amendment or not depends on the answer to that question. Is the three-drink limit still going to exist?
Senator Machicki.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Peter Machicki, primary sponsor, Senate Bill 52. Those are great questions. The three-drink limit is not affected by this. What I'd like to remind the committee is right now there's a soft close of 8 p.m., which means that's when you have to stop serving alcohol, but you can stay and drink your drinks and eat your food until much longer than that. The change in the bill is a 10 p.m. hard close. That was a part of that deal that resulted in those support letters from those different entities, which means everybody's out at 10 p.m. So you can't serve anymore, and you must be out by 10 p.m. So really it adds some time to the open hours, but doesn't change what can be served.
Follow-up?
Yeah, so even the concern about music festivals, hosting music festivals and some of the entertainment, and so the same hard close will still apply to them events, and the three-drink limit still exists with breweries, distilleries, otherwise? Is that?
Representative Knopf, through the chair, that is correct. That doesn't change the other aspects of the bill. It just allows them to serve until 10 p.m. and then they must close the door. And everyone must be out.
Okay, thank you.
Any other? Would you like to do a wrap up or a question?
Sure, I can wrap up and address a couple of those questions. The drinks doesn't change. No one's trying to expand the drink limits yet. It'll probably come in the next go around with 12 o'clock closing times and music every weekend. Hard close, soft close. I've been in the bar business 25 years. I know all about hard close and soft close. Closing time, let's say, it's been changing over the years. In Fairbanks, it used to be 5, then it's 2 in the week, 3:30 in the weekend. Closes at 2 o'clock during the week. Someone can buy a drink at 1:55, boom, walk out the door at 2. So you can buy a drink 5 minutes before closing time. So if the closing time is 10, you can buy a beer at 9:45. That's no problem. I understand the soft close. You buy a beer at 7:55. You can sip it for half an hour, which I actually don't have a problem with that. I think all bars should have that, you know, have a wind down time so you can get a cab and what have you. But, and I think the question of live music and, you know, some of these places I've been to hold hundreds and hundreds of people. And I don't know how you, that's another amendment further down the page. But, yeah, the drink limit stays the same. And this becomes a hard close at 10. It's still 2 more hours or 1 hour and 45 minutes more of commerce. And it's 1 hour and 45 minutes that these places can stay open that maybe someone otherwise would go to a different type of establishment. So I think it's the nose under the tent. I think 9 o'clock is a fair compromise. And I think trying 9 for a year or so and see, maybe the brewers will go, you know what, this is fine. And often people I talk to, patrons, many patrons of these places say, we don't want them to stay open late. We like the early family atmosphere. I can bring my kids. They're, you know, that I know patrons that are not in favor of the late closing. I guess they can just leave. But I think the places will take on a different tenor. So I think 9 o'clock is still expanding the hours. So I'm even hesitant to do it, but I think it's a compromise.
Are you going to maintain your objection?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Could we have a roll call, please?
Representative Wolf?
Yes.
Representative Carpenter?
No.
Representative Josephson?
No.
Representative Knopf?
No.
Representative LeBon?
Yes.
Representative Merritt?
No.
Representative Ortiz?
No.
Representative Sullivan Leonard?
No.
Representative Tilton?
No.
Representative Johnston?
No.
2 yea, 8 nay.
And with a vote of 2 yeas and 8 nays, amendment number 6 fails. Amendment number 7.
Lost my booklet. Assume it's my amendment, right? Oh yeah, thanks. Amendment number 7. Okay, let's try this one. I move amendment number 7.
There's objection.
Okay. This one isn't really addressed in Title 4 as we're looking at it, so this is not a deletion. Although it says delete. But basically, this allows beverage dispensary licenses, of which there are a lot. And they would allow them to repackage and sell off-premise, because right now they're closed. BDLs are closed to the world right now. You can't buy a glass of ice in a bar right now. But all the other alcohol-type establishments open to the public can. A liquor store can sell alcohol right now. Liquor stores can also sell growlers. Many of them have a growler bar where you can bring in a bottle or buy a bottle and they'll fill it up and you can walk out with it. Tasting rooms, brewery tasting rooms can sell growlers. I can go into the one down the street here in Juneau, and although all the businesses are closed in town, they can stay open. I can't drink it on premise, but I can get a growler filled and walk out the door with it. This would allow BDLs to do that, and I think it's a good give to them as far as, you know, the tasting room and manufacturing industry is encroaching on some of the things that BDLs can do, such as live entertainment, which they haven't been able to do yet. So now they want to get in the entertainment game. There's a few things BDLs can do that manufacturers can't do. And entertainment is one of them. But this would allow BDLs to do something that manufacturers and other package stores can do, which is to sell growlers. So that's what this is. It allows them, in this economic time, any revenue stream would be good. They could open up and sell some product for consumption off-premise, just like a manufacturing tasting room or a liquor store.
Representative LeBon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I support this amendment. It would allow for a customer of a BDL establishment to make a one-stop shop, to purchase food to go and to pick up a growler to go. So to me, it expands their business opportunity at a time where they have limited opportunity when the doors are locked, and it would just make sense to me to expand this opportunity today. Thank you.
Representative Ortiz.
Madam Chair, could I have the bill sponsor to come forward to answer a question on this?
Senator Maticki.
Yes, Madam Chair, Senator Peter Maticki, District O.
Senator Maticki, the particular amendment that we're looking at right now, was this issue addressed in any way as a part of the grand bargain? In other words, was this particular aspect of what Representative Wool is doing with this amendment, was that even talked about in terms of the discussions that went forward in relationship to bringing up Senate Bill 52?
Representative Ortiz, through the chair, this has not been discussed in 8 years of discussions, which is one of the things I fear about changes on the fly. This may be something worthy of discussion in the future, but this is not something anyone asked for. It's not something that anyone has discussed. It has not been a subject of discussion during this entire process. Remember, we stopped counting at 13,000 hours. We had many meetings over the last interim since the last time this bill was stalled, and that subject has never come up.
Representative Lebon.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Just one last brief comment. I have heard from a BDL license holder in Fairbanks that they would appreciate this flexibility. And I think up until recently, the sense that you would be closed for an extended period of time never entered into the mind of a restaurant bar operator. But now they are closed, and for how long, who knows? So now it becomes a sense of urgency. Sure, it maybe hasn't been discussed before, but times have changed, and now there is a sense of urgency.
Senator Maticki.
Madam Chair, just in response to that, the effective dates of this bill does not help the situation this year, which is why it is something worthy of discussion that would not help this year. That's something we could talk about. There's going to be a little cleanup on this bill for next year, and that's something that we can bring folks together, have a responsible discussion, bring public health and safety into that discussion, and see if there's a way for the industry to move forward with this sort of concept in place.
Representative Josephson.
Question for the sponsor of the amendment. So, Representative Wool, I haven't been inside it, but over by Costco, I've driven by the Alaskan Brewery Warehouse. I don't know what it is. And from downtown where I live in Juneau, I could take a growler, and rather than driving out there, I could go to a bar downtown and hand them my growler, and they would pull the tap on the Alaskan Amber. And that's the amendment.
Representative Josephson, yes. And to the first comment about the industry, I actually did speak with Char and the brewers about this very issue. And the fact that it didn't come up, maybe they just don't have good negotiators, because I've thought about this idea for a while since I used to be in the business, and people would come to me and say, hey, can I buy a growler? I'm saying, I can't do that. You can go to Moose's Tooth, the famous Moose's Tooth Pizzeria in Anchorage, where they don't make beer on site there, but you can buy a growler to go because they have a brew pub license, I think. So, and people are coming in there, buying beer, and walking, getting a pizza and a jug of beer to go, which seems like a great idea. I used to sell pizza too at my restaurant, but I couldn't sell any alcohol to go. And it seems like it's not like it's a new concept. They're doing it everywhere. Why shouldn't you be able to do it these places? And I did speak with Char and the brewers, and they actually got back to me and said they're okay with it. But, you know, I know we want to open this can of worms next year, don't we? So I don't. I'd rather just, well, we got it in front of us. So I haven't heard any opposition to it. I think it's good business. I think it's at least some give to the BDL owners that, you know, this activity that seemingly everyone else can do but them.
Any other questions? Do you maintain your objection? Yes. Could we please have a roll call?
Representative Carpenter.
No.
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
Representative Knopf?
Yes.
Representative Laban?
Yes.
Representative Merrick?
No.
Representative Ortiz?
Pass.
Representative Sullivan Leonard?
No.
Representative Tilton?
No.
Representative Wolf?
Yes.
Representative Ortiz?
Yes.
Representative Johnston?
No.
Five yeas, five nays. No, yeah. Five nays.
With a vote of five yeas and five nays, this amendment did not pass.
Getting closer.
You're getting closer.
Getting closer.
You have, there's two conceptual amendments.
Yep.
Conceptual amendment number one.
Move conceptual amendment number one.
Object.
Conceptual amendment number one removes the free samples at a manufacturing tasting room that sells samples, although one could argue that 36 ounces of beer is not a sample, but... And we didn't go over this in committee, but it's my understanding that sample sizes were put on in tasting rooms, and I'd need some clarification. The sample size that we looked at for liquor stores for their free sample, which was 12 ounces of beer, 6 ounces of wine, and 1.5 ounces of hard alcohol, I think is the sample size allowed to be given away for free in a tasting room, and correct me if I'm wrong, but If you have an endorsement to sell beer, wine, or alcohol, why do you also need the ability to give it away for free? And maybe that's something they didn't look at in this bill that well. But if I go into a brewery tasting room, say Alaskan Brewing, down near Home Depot here in Juneau, and I buy my 36 ounces, and I'm not saying they would do this, but I think right now they have the legal capability to give me another 12 for the road. So that gets me up to 48, which I don't see as necessary. And, you know, maybe I can see someone saying, well, if you buy three, we'll give you the last one for free, because they have the ability to do that. Bars cannot give out 12 ounces of beer for free or anything. So, I mean, a free sample of a little... teeny sip in the bottom of a glass to get a taste is one thing, but I think right now, and I guess I have to ask the bill sponsor, the sample size in this 123-page bill for tasting rooms, I think, is 12 ounces beer, 6 ounces wine, 1.5 ounces hard alcohol. And if that's the case, I don't think that should be allowed concurrently with the sale. If you don't have the retail endorsement to sell it, you can give out a little bit, sure. But if you do have the retail endorsement, that's what you have it for. You sell the samples. You don't give them away for free.
Senator Michiki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to make it clear that the law states that the total consumption is 36 ounces, as well as the other limits, that if there's a sample, it's included in that 36 ounces. They cannot give them one to go. They cannot give them an amount above that 36 ounces. So this bill provides a lot of endorsement or a lot of enforcement. If there's a law enforcement from the department officer sitting there and someone gives three beers and then gives some additional tasting, they are out of compliance and will be cited.
And Senator Michiki, if you'd like, you could just stay at the table in case there's questions. And if Conrad would like to come up also.
I didn't want to be presumptuous, Madam Chair.
Any other questions? Representative Josephson?
Through the chair for Senator Michiki, is the same true for the distilleries and wineries, that there's a hard cap on total consumption at the site?
There is. Representative Josephson, through the chair. There is a hard cap on that amount that can be sampled. Now, if you go to a BDL or you go anywhere, I'm not sure that there's someone that has a scale that's going to measure the exact amount every time. They're not going to measure how full the actual cup is. It's the, But the hard cap is that amount for distilleries, breweries, and wineries.
Representative Wall?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm familiar with the cap. So I'm glad it's clarified that it's for sale or for free, it's still the same cap. I guess I just wonder again, what's the sample size? Can someone point to the pre-samples capacity, pre-sample limits for a retail tasting room? Can someone point to that in the bill?
Representative Wolf, through the chair, there's not a specific sample size. The max is 36 ounces. We can just talk about beer if you all don't mind, unless you want to talk about the other types. But it seems like the breweries are where everyone's focused. The sample size is not specified. The amount total is 36 ounces. So if you had enforcement sitting there and someone gave 39 ounces, including a sample, they would be breaking the law.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I guess I know the sample size for liquor stores was established, so I thought there was one for tasting rooms, and maybe I'm not remembering correctly. But I know that, I guess if there's no size, I don't know. I talked to a manufacturer a year or two ago, and I said, what would you be willing to give up? And he goes, that free sample thing, we don't really need that, because they're selling them. So, and in a bar, you can't give out free drinks. I can't give someone 12 ounces free sample. But I guess a tasting room, you can, legally. So why not just take that ability away and just have them sell drinks? That's what they're doing. They're making money selling drinks. So I'm not saying they want to give them away, but why should they be able to? Like I say, the guy could say, well, buy two, I'll give you the third one free. Bars can't do that. They can't buy one, get one. But in the tasting room, I guess I can buy 12 ounces, and then they could say, here's another 12. It's a free sample. So I don't understand why it's on the books.
Representative Josephson?
For the maker of the amendment, and this is for my edification and not to pretend to be ignorant because I don't know, is the interest here, it strikes me it's either in protecting the BDL economic interest or avoiding over-intoxication, or there may be a third or fourth reason, and I had a third or fourth and I've lost them. But what is the – well, and then you've said the disparity that the BDLs can't do this. Are those the sort of issues at play?
Representative Josephson, yeah, since the limit's the limit, it's not going to affect intoxication level. I don't see any enforcement officers in any of these places, but I think there's one in Fairbanks, and I think they have their hands full. But it's equity. It's also kind of a cleanup. I think the free samples were before they could have retail sales. They said, well, you can go to a manufacturer and have a little sample. A lot of them do it. You take a tour of the Guinness factory, you get a little taste. But I think when they added sales, they maybe just didn't take away the free sample, or they just – I guess it's just – like I say, you could do it as – you could conceivably make it a promotion. Between the hours of 9 and 10, if you buy two, the last one, I mean, legally they can do it. I'm not saying they're going to, but they could do it. And I just don't see the need for it. I mean, I don't really care at the end of the day. But, you know, I just know that the other license types can't give away. You can't go to a restaurant and say, hey, you didn't like that wine? Here's a free one. Legally, you can't give away free alcohol. The state is – public safety people are very adamant about that. No free booze. But in this case, you can. So – you know, it's more of a cleanup than anything else. If you want to have free alcohol, I don't care. But I just assume make it consistent with other license types.
Do you maintain your objection?
I do.
Do we have a roll call, please?
Representative Josephson.
No.
Representative Knopf.
No.
Representative LeBon.
Yes.
Representative Merrick.
No.
Representative Ortiz.
No.
Representative Sullivan Leonard.
No.
Representative Tilton.
No.
Representative Wool.
Yes.
Representative Carpenter.
No.
Representative Johnston.
No.
Two yeas, eight nays.
And with a vote of two yeas and eight nays, conceptual amendment number one does not pass. Representative Wool.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Conceptual amendment number two. I move it.
Object.
Okay. This was alluded to here a minute ago, which is drink limits and a system of tracking. I've heard, and I've been to many places, and I've heard anecdotally that if you have a room with 200 people drinking and you have three people pouring beer, it's kind of hard to track how many drinks people have. I've been into places where they stamp your hand for each drink you have. I've been to places that don't. I've been to places that used to stamp and now they don't. I've been to places that give you a card, but the card could be moved around. I'm not saying people have bad intentions, but I know people that have told me stories that, you know, the limit is not always adhered to. Also, if you have live music and you have a concert, and let's say you have 300, 400, 500 people outside of your outdoor venue with a band, which I'm sure is going to happen, how do you track it? How do you track that many people drinking beers? I'm using beer as a general use beverage. How do you track it? And especially these places are open from 9 a.m. to now 10 p.m., so that's 11 hours. So I think there should be a standardized system. Either the business comes up with it and it gets approved by the ABC board, or the ABC board comes up with it and it's a uniform methodology. But I just think it would make sense, if you're going to limit drinks, to come up with a system, because, like I say, if it's a small room that holds 20 people, that's one thing, but these are places that hold hundreds. They have outdoor areas. So I just don't know how they're going to do it, especially if they start doing live music. I've been into places where I say, can I have those three beers? And they say, well, have you had a beer yet in here today? And I go, well, don't you know? And they don't know, but, you know, I'm honest. Everyone's honest in the world, but sometimes it's good to have rules, and that's why you have closing times and drink limits, and I think this would just establish a system for tracking it, either done by the ABC board or done by the business.
Representative Knopf.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, you know, I could support this amendment if, in fact, it was limited to the music festivals and some of the entertainment where you have large volumes of people. I wouldn't support it on a day-to-day normal course of business. So if the maker could figure out some type of way of limiting that to major events, I think it makes a valid point about the masses of people. How would you track them during an event like that? You know, so I'll just throw that out there for the maker of the amendment.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Representative Josephson?
Through the chair for Sarah Michicki. I'm trying to figure out why, except for the variations perhaps that Representative Knopf talked about, why this would be objectionable to the brewing industry, for example.
Thank you for that, Representative Josephson. I'm not sure that it would be with some discussion. We've taken this bill around the building several times now. We've been to this body. This is the second time to this body. This has not come up before. I can tell you a little story about going to a brewery. There's one that I like to go to fairly regularly. I'm not a bar guy. My business doesn't, you can't subtract it from OBDL because we're not bar folks. We like the setting in the brewery. We like the family setting. We go to, I shouldn't do product placement, but Kenai River Brewing is an amazing place. It's open and clean, and women don't have to worry about getting hit on. They've never had a police call. People don't get drunk there. I've never seen anyone get drunk there. And when I go up there, they're trained the same way bartenders are trained. If this is a good idea for breweries, we should discuss it next year. And we should discuss whether it's something we should do for BDLs as well, who actually have the challenges that they have with over-serving and the other issues. Maybe we should count how many drinks people get, make sure they don't get over the limit. But I think it's a longer discussion. It may be something worth talking about. I hate to do it on the fly. And again, I think this is the last amendment at this point. I think that's something that this is not the end-all be-all of alcohol laws. We're going to be talking about a lot of things that we can look at in the future that may be improvements. But for now, that's something some places do now voluntarily. I don't think this is a problem right now. I have not seen any evidence of the breweries that I've been to around the state that this is a problem.
Follow up?
Just a comment. I respect all the hard work that's gone into this, but to use a football analogy, as much as I think that this bill may be a good thing, we're in the 59th minute in the red zone, and the game isn't over. It just isn't. Thank you.
Representative Knopp.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Mr. Senator Michicki, so a couple times now you've said on Amendment 2 and Amendment 7, you're not supporting them. Great ideas. You're not willing to support them because they haven't been around the block and been discussed amongst all the user groups. But the amendments that was passed in Senate Finance are pretty substantial amendments. Did them amendments make it around the block and did get discussed? I mean, they're more substantial than anything we're offering here. And if you're going to oppose all the amendments because they didn't get around and be discussed amongst the user groups, what's the situation on them?
Representative Knopf, through the chair, I actually didn't say any of them were a great idea. I said they're worthy of discussion. There may be something of value that comes out of them. What I said is I don't want to do something on the fly without involving the professionals, not only in the BDL owners, I mean the license holders, but the manufacturers and public health and safety. This is not a lot of work because it's something that I've done. It's a lot of work because of all the different players that have been a part of it. So some of those things are worthy of discussion. That is what I said. The amendment that was relatively large in Senate Finance was the agreement between the three entities. And that was the thing that we're sort of resisting being changed today because it's what everyone agreed to. That was injecting that agreement back into the bill.
Follow up?
So you're telling me all these amendments did get floated and they weren't crafted on the Senate Finance floor then. So they weren't put into the incorporated in the original bill then. And so I'm kind of wondering how that process worked.
Yeah, Representative Knopf, through the chair, that is correct. The only other one that was added was the chicken stock amendment, which was actually in a bill earlier and was removed, I think, in this committee a couple of years back. But that was another one that they tried to, that they had discussed, and we didn't have any opposition. It was discussed with all the user groups. All the amendments that have been put in the bill in Senate Finance were the ones that were run through the process, were agreed upon by all the entities, and injected into the bill.
Would you like to do a wrap up?
Sure.
This has come up before. I've talked about this concept with HR people in the last few years. So, as far as drink limits and enforcing them, as far as putting drink limits on BDLs for public safety, you know, I guess you put French fry limits too. I don't know. I think. I understand the counter argument to that. I think that would, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. But I think going to 10 o'clock, there would probably be more people of higher blood alcohol level because they can go around different places. So, and I've been to places that have 200 people outside that aren't music festival days, but they're just busy, popular places that are. You know, and I'm not sure when this concept was floated in the beginning if they envisioned large gathering spots, but it's fine. It's what people like. I get it. But, you know, if you want to just let it go willy-nilly, that's fine too. But I just think if you're going to have a limit, you should have some way of tracking. Yeah, if it's a small room with three tables, maybe not so needed, but there are places that are quite big. That could use a system.
Do you maintain your objection?
Madam Chair, I do. Call a question, please.
Roll call.
Representative Labonte.
Pass.
Representative Merrick.
No.
Representative Ortiz.
Pass.
Representative Sullivan Leonard.
No.
Representative Tilton.
No.
Representative Wolf.
Yes.
Representative Carpenter.
No.
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
Representative Knopf?
No.
Representative LeBon?
No.
Representative Ortiz?
No.
Representative Johnston?
No.
Two yeas, eight nays.
And with a vote of two yeas and eight nays, conceptual amendment number two does not pass. Brief at ease. Representative Josephson?
I withdraw amendment number one.
And I am withdrawing amendment number two and eight. Any further discussion on SB 52? Representative Wall?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for allowing me to present amendments on the last day. I imagine that we'll be here, I hope. I'm aware of the grand bargain that was struck recently regarding especially the changing of the hours and of the live entertainment, which to me is fundamental in defining, changing the definition of a tasting room and differentiating it from a tavern or a bar. So I think what we've done is crack that egg, and I don't think, I think it's forever changed. And I think it's, you know, I understand people like going to these places, but I also, and I'm partial because I used to be a BDL owner for a long time, but I have friends that own package stores, I have friends that own distilleries, I have friends that own other BDLs, and a lot of them are going to be affected by this, and mostly a lot of them are going to be affected by this, by being forced to be closed and not being able to sell anything. There's going to be a lot of bankruptcies. A lot of these businesses were teetering anyways, just the way the alcohol industry's been going. And some of them are changing and adapting. Some in Fairbanks, BDL owners have opened what look like tasting rooms that you could go into them and they just have 40 beers on the wall and that's it. So they're adapting. They're clean and nice and bright. Some are, you know, there's other ways people are adapting. Younger people are buying licenses and putting their own twist on, which is good. But I'm worried there's going to be a lot of bankruptcies coming up. There's going to be a lot of licenses for sale, a lot of licenses for sale. And the one thing this bill does, which is good, is allows manufacturers to buy BDLs. And so if they want to sell drinks and have live entertainment and stay open later, they can just buy a BDL. And there's a lot of them going to be real cheap. But at the same time, while it allows them to buy a BDL or a restaurant eating place license, an REPL, it also gives them the ability to do a lot of these things without buying the licenses. So it's sort of doing, you know, I wish the owners, that if they want to stay open later and have music or whatever, would just buy the other licenses. A lot of these places sell food and probably are qualified in their sales ratios to get a restaurant eating place license. And then they can sell wine, too, because I know people that go to breweries, but they like wine. They want to be in the same place and have beer and wine. So I think in a way it helps in that, but it gives a disincentive to buy those licenses since they can do it without them. And I worry about the industry. I worry about the restaurant industry. Restaurants sell beer and wine. not just because it goes good with food, but they make money on it, and that's why everyone wants to sell alcohol, fairs, bowling alleys, skiing areas, nonprofits, races, health clubs. Everyone wants to sell alcohol because it's profitable, and it's fairly easy, and your product doesn't go bad. So I worry about restaurants, and I'd like to see more restaurants be able to sell beer and wine, and I'd like to help them out. I don't like the limits, the population limits on REPLs. I think that's going to add equity, again, in the wrong direction. So I think this bill has a lot of good things, a lot of cleanup, technical stuff with penalties and registration and licensing that probably most people aren't aware of. But I think the profound change is expanding the hours from the original intent of the legislation and expanding live entertainment, that these places that were told by past legislators, no, we're not going to pick up bars and taverns, I think are bars and taverns. And I think that's the major change here. And I think everyone should be aware of it.
Are there any other comments? Would you like to maintain your objection?
Oh, I wasn't objecting.
Oh, no. Okay.
I wasn't objecting to the bill.
So are there any objections to the bill? Oh, excuse me. It's Saturday. Representative Ortiz.
Madam Chair, I move the committee substitute for Senate Bill 52, Finance Amended 31-LS0004/EA from committee with the attached fiscal note and the individual committee recommendations.
Are there any objections? Seeing no objections, SB 52 passes. So first of all, I just want to take this brief moment to thank all the finance staff. You guys have been real troopers, and it's been an interesting time for all of us, and I've appreciated how you've all adapted. And including the LIO staff, you're a great crew. I will be, as you'll see, be recessing because we just never know what's coming down our road. But this might be our last meeting, and I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you. And with that, as I say, I think we are recessing because of the unknown. So with that, I recess this meeting at 10:17 a.m.